Love that song. I long for your embrace every single day. To meet you in this place, to see you face to face. Will you show me? Will you reveal yourself to me? Because of your mercies, I fall down on my knees. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for the opportunity to give you the glory today, Lord, for the opportunity to tell moms and grandmas and upcoming moms and that we love them, that we care about them, that you care about them, Father. And I pray that as the word comes forth today, that you will reveal yourself to each one of us, Father, in a different way, at a different time, maybe at a different things, Father. And I just give you the glory for today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Got a couple mom stories for you. When I was a child, my parents did something very cruel to me, and they did it every Sunday. They made me sit through this long, boring church service. In these days, the kids, they sing a few songs in the big church before being dismissed to the basement of paradise of crafts and games and hyperactive insanity that many may or may not contain Bible lessons. But not back in the day, this young man wrote. We went to Sunday school, then had to sit through the full adult service. My friends and I found ways to entertain ourselves. One stroke of genius was thumping through the hymnals, adding the word "on the toilet" to every title of every song. I still, to this day, have this soft spot for "lay your burden down on the toilet." But there was one thing, and this is for the moms now, there was one thing that would stop me cold, this young man wrote, my mom's evil eye. It had magical powers. I'd be goofing off and having a great time, and suddenly I'd feel it upon me, across from the sanctuary, filled with sheer terror. I'd sit poker straight for the rest of the service, praying her wrath would subside. Just the thought of it still scares me. But this young man wrote, but I'll tell you one thing, these days I'm really well behaved in church. Praise God. Then we had a little daughter that wrote this about her mom. My 7-year-old daughter wanted to take violin lessons, so I took her to the music store to rent an instrument. Hoping she would understand the importance of practicing, I explained that violin lessons were expensive, so she would have to work hard. There are many times, the daughter said, she told her daughter, there are many times when you might feel like you're giving up, but I want you to hang in there and keep on trying. And the daughter nodded and said in her most serious voice, it would be just like marriage, right, Mommy? Pretty cool, huh? And then we have the Bad Moms movie that I never saw. Oh, my gosh. $183.9 million that movie made. Now, if you saw it, I'm not here to judge you. I just wanted you to know that they counted the 65 F words, 30 S words, profanities, closing A, B, D, H, D, T, P. God's name is misused about 50 times, including at least once with D. Jesus' name was abused 5 times. So then this story, maybe the last story is about maybe from a son who was a bad mom. I don't know. It says Mother's Day was coming and the young boy said, I'm going to buy a card with hearts of pink and red. But then I thought I'd rather spend the money on me instead. It's awfully hard to buy things when one allowance is so small. So I guess you're pretty lucky that I got you anything at all. Happy Mother's Day. That's sad. Then the boy said, there I've said it. Now I'm done. So now I'm getting out of bed and fixing breakfast for your son. How about getting out of bed and fixing breakfast for your son? And I put in your listening guide, mothers have always been great providers. So much so that it often gets to be expected. Can I hear any amen from moms? Even moms have times that they need someone to provide for them. Jesus encountered such a mom, and the encounter resulted in her greatest need being provided for. We're in Luke chapter 7 today, 11 through 15. And I want to tell you that this situation was divided. Look at verses 11 and 12. It says, soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And as I studied these verses, there was really two kinds of crowds. One crowd was following life. Because if you look at the first 10 verses, Jesus, just by speaking the word, had performed a miracle for a dying servant of this Roman centurion. And you can see that in those first 10 verses in chapter 7. A miracle like this, when you think about it, was a cause for rejoicing and excitement. And the crowd wanted to be around Jesus. They wanted to see what was going to happen next as they followed Jesus. It seemed that everywhere that Jesus went, nothing ever stayed the same. He brought joy and life because he was life. Think about it. So if you decide to get into the Word, I'm going to be honest with you. When you're getting in the Word, you're hanging out with Jesus. When you're fellowshipping with other Christians, you're hanging out with Jesus. When you're serving, when you're praying, when you're giving, that's a chance for you to hang out with Jesus. Is there anybody else who has ever lived on this earth or anything else that could say this? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one else can say that. And then I thought to myself, when I look at those verses, they were praising God and singing, and everyone was trying to get close to Jesus so that they could hear what he had to say. And I thought to myself, that should be like a church service. Think about it, where they're praising God and singing and everyone's trying to get close to Jesus. They're looking to the word, they're looking to the lyrics and the song, and they could hear what he had to say. And they were noisy and boisterous, but suddenly their noise stopped as they came upon another crowd. The other crowd was following death. This crowd was very different from the first crowd that we saw in the first 10 verses. For one, they were being led by a coffin, which is a symbol of death, rather than being led by Jesus, who is the source of life. They too were loud, but their noise came from the volume of their weeping and wailing, not from singing and laughter. And in this crowd, really, all hope was gone. And the text tells us enough about the family that led this procession of death to enable us to feel the same pain that they were feeling. She was a widow. Her family was from the city of Nain, which actually means pleasant or delightful. The city name really adds a little irony to the story. And everything that was pleasant in this mother's life had been taken from her. Her delight was gone. She was leaving the place of delight as far as she knew, and she would still live in Nain, but it would never be a delight for her again. For the last thing that we're told about this mom is that she was on the way to bury her son, her only son. And her joy and delight, if you think about it, was gone. And she was part of the crowd that was following death. The situation on that day could be the same situation that we have on this day. There's still two crowds. One is following death and the other one is following life. And if you're not following the crowd that is with Jesus, then you're following the crowd that is taking you to death and destruction. The second point I want to get across here, that the action by Jesus was authoritative. In verses 13 through 15, it says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still and said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. So when you think about Jesus, should you choose to live for him, he always bridges the gap between life and death. Jesus' action was motivated by compassion. You see that in verse 13 when Jesus encountered this broken-hearted mother. The Bible says that his heart went out to her. His heart broke because her heart was broken. Think about it. And maybe Jesus has compassion for somebody in here today, maybe whose heart is broken. But Jesus, feeling her pain, went to that broken-hearted widow. And then with all the gentle and compassionate authority of God himself, he gave a command and said, "Do not weep." Some versions say, "Don't cry." Jesus did not tell her to quit crying because it was wrong to cry. Jesus himself cried at the funeral for his friend Lazarus. But the tears that she was crying on that day were the tears of hopelessness. And Jesus wanted her to see that when he is involved in the process, there is always hope. Fill that word in. There is always hope when Jesus is involved in the process. The day will come in every one of our lives when Jesus will wipe away every tear from our eyes and we'll never cry tears of sorrow again. But until that time, it's okay to cry. Crying helps us heal. Many of you mothers have spent a great deal of time crying over your children. Many, many mothers. The tears that you thought you cried in secret, the ones that no one else knew about, the Father saw them. He sees every tear. Psalms 56:8 says, "You have kept count of my tossings and put my tears in a bottle. Are they not in your book?" So just because you go through suffering, never entertain the idea that God does not see or care. I want to read that again. Just because you go through suffering, never entertain the idea that God does not see your situation, that he does not care about you, because God does see and he does care. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." When I study these verses, I feel that Jesus' action was preceded by stillness. You see that in the first part of verse 14. "Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still." Now the bier, if you don't know what that is, that's like a little, a stand that they put the coffin on, that they carry it to the burial site. And that's what a bier is. It's not something you drink, praise God. But once Jesus had interacted with that mother, he then moved his attention to the son. He was in a coffin, and when Jesus touched that coffin to signify that he wanted it to stop, the men had no reason to respond to his demands. The mother was the only authority that day that they, the crowd, had any reason to respond to. But everything that Jesus did, even touching a coffin, he did with authority, and people responded. They stood still. No matter how much you try, you cannot raise dead things back to life. Your only recourse is to fall on your knees before God, still your heart before him, and remember that he is God. And maybe I came here today to tell you that it's much easier to worry than it is to pray, right? It's much easier to be a mother hen over your children than it is to be still before God, right? But remember that God is present there in the middle of the situation. He's the fortress that can protect your heart and that can protect your children. And on this Mother's Day, I'll give you two verses. Psalm 46:10-11. "Be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." So be still before God. Cease your worthless worrying and your vain activity. And when I look up the word vain, it means proud of or conceited about one's own appearance or qualities or achievements. Basically, pride. Letter C, Jesus' action was accomplished through obedience. Luke 7, the end of 14 and 15, he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. So Jesus' first command to the mother, who hadn't been able to stop crying for days, told her, "Don't cry or do not weep." And she stopped crying. Then the second command was to the pallbearers. He told them, "Be still." And they stood still. But the third command was a true test of his authority. For the third command was to the dead man, to this dead man, Jesus commanded, "Arise." And some versions say, "Get up." And when Jesus commands, even death sits up and takes notice. Only Jesus had the authority to command death and see it obey. 1 Corinthians tells us this, when the perishable puts on imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" A boy who was on his way to be buried sat up at his master's command and was reunited with his mother. All of us want miracles to happen. We want to see God's provision in our marriages or our families or at our job or our finances, in our neighborhood and in our churches. God wanted to show her that he was the one who was in control. You are not the one who is in control. This is a message for me as well. Not until you realize and turn over your control of your spouse, of your children to God, will God be able to do the miracle in their lives and provide for their great needs. Amen. Are you hearing me today? Not until you realize and turn over your control of your spouse or your children to God, will God be able to do a miracle in their lives and provide for their greatest needs. Until we turn over this control of this church to Him, then the miracles can start happening. And you're listening, God, I put it, not until you obey His commands and yield to His authority will He be able to show His power on your behalf. That's heavy. Let's read it together. Not until you obey His commands and yield to His authority will you be able to show His power on your behalf. That's beautiful. In closing, I would say this. Jesus met a desperate man that day. He turned a funeral into the celebration. Come on up. But it wasn't just a celebration of this young man and his reunion with his mother, but also it was a celebration of the one, capital O, who can bring life to any situation, providing exactly what is needed to meet needs. Think about it. I want you to turn to your neighbor right now and say, any situation. Any situation. He can do that in the life of anyone who is willing to submit to His authority and do exactly what He says. Anyone here today willing, moms, dads, grandmom, granddads, any teens willing to submit to His authority, willing to surrender your life to the author of life, Jesus Christ? Let's read Jeremiah 29, 11, and 13, while the ushers come forward. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Think about it. Repeat after me. I'll say it and you repeat it. Jesus, take control. Jesus, take control. I give you my life. Take control. Praise God. Thank you for this day, Lord. We honor you today, Lord. We honor the moms in here today. Father, there might be many moms in here going through a struggle, going through a trial. Your word tells us to give you glory, even in the midst of trials. Because out of that, when we get through those trials, when we let go of the control and allow you to be control, what will we gain out of it? And the Word of God tells us perseverance. The Word of God tells us that we gain proven character out of this. The Word of God tells us that we gain, should we choose to allow you to take control of our lives, hope. Hope, and it doesn't disappoint it because the Holy Spirit pours that out into our hearts. So, Father, I pray for those who might be struggling today. Father, I give you the glory for those that are celebrating today, Lord. Father, I pray as we take this offering, Lord, that you would just bless everyone here today, Father. That you would knock on the door of our hearts and say, let me have control. Come and let me in. And Father, we open up this altar now, Father, for those who would want prayer, maybe for a spouse, maybe for a child, maybe for a neighbor, maybe for a relative who ceases to not allow the world to take control of them, but that they need you to control them, Father, because there's really only two crowds, Lord. The more I read these verses, the more I see there's either a crowd going to death or there is a crowd going to life. And we can't have life without you, Jesus. So, Father, I pray that someone comes to acknowledge you as their Lord and Savior today. Father, I pray that someone comes to now acknowledge and allow you to take control in their lives, Father. And, Father, I give you the glory for this day, Father, on this Mother's Day, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.